typically when you're getting into growth areas, or in the case of the federal government, it would be something around change or a new mandate, something like that, you're dealing with a lot more uncertainty than you are when you're doing business as normal. So it's very hard to do that and do your day job at the same time. So the point of having a special unit is to give people, firstly, the time in the breathing room, and secondly, the ability to really focus on something that might be new and might have a very different rhythm and a very different structure than something that you're familiar with and that you've worked with for a long time.
So you call these things corporate venture groups, almost incubators, greenhouses, something that can almost be a place where folks can, to use the horrible phrase, think outside the box.
Right. Although we find it actually helps to give them some boxes to think inside of, because when faced with a blank piece of paper, most people go into complete stasis.
It can be, that can be too daunting. So,
exactly.
So give them a box and say, okay, how can we push the boundaries of the box?
There you go.
How do organizations, how can organizations do this? Because it feels like what can happen is these folks can get separated out from the core mission. All of a sudden, they're not as connected to what the organization's main focus is.
Right, and that's a big danger that you've identified. I recall a business at Nokia, which was so separated from the core business that Nokia key cards wouldn't even fit their building. It was pretty bad. The way that people tend to address it successfully is through the use of linking mechanisms. So, for example, you might set up this special group, but perhaps they're reporting into a board which has membership from HR, which has membership from legal, which has membership from some of the core units, so that there's a constant dialogue between the two. Now, the difference is between dialogue and strangulation.
Yeah, right.
So you don't want to give them so much authority that they can hamper the new thing in its efforts, but you do want to build these lines of communication between the two.
Well, and it seems like this kind of concept, Google's famous 20% rule that it tells its engineers to take 20% of their time, essentially a day a week, and do something unrelated, related but unrelated, to go out and push those boundaries.
Yes, it's a similar idea. Really, what it is it's freeing up resources to focus on new things, is the critical thing. Now, in government, one of the big problems that you have is you don't have the intensity of competitive pressure. So it's often a real leadership challenge to get people to realize that allocating resources to something like this is important.
Yeah, well, that's becoming less and less a problem, though, as resources become more and more stretched, I think.
I guess. Well, sometimes it takes that to get change to happen.
Yeah. It one of the other challenges that it is oftentimes these folks can be sort of strategic, and I think there's almost a concern that once I become strategic, hold on, I'm not core to the mission, which means that I'm easily put out to pasture.
Well, that's a concern, absolutely.
So how do you...
That's where really strong leadership comes into play. A couple of suggestions there. One is you don't get to progress in the organization until you've spent some time in one of these units.
Hmm.
That's a very powerful message.
Yeah.
You know, what you don't want is, gee, where's Fred? Oh, he's off in special projects. Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought he was doing so well.
In government, they call it turkey farming. You get sent to the turkey farm.
Exactly. So you don't want that. You want it to be a place that, you know, people on the move get assigned to for a period of time. The second thing is that you want it visible and on the agenda. And I like to say that if it's really important, it should be item number 1, 2, or 3 on every agenda that you have. And if it's strategically looked at like that, then I think people understand that this is more about the future.
And make it sounds like what you're talking about is making it a rotation. Somebody doesn't stay there forever, but you go there maybe for a period of time and have maybe even overlapping people, almost 6-month terms kind of thing.
Now, you need them to be there long enough that they can learn what they're doing. So you can't rotate them out too fast. But something on the order of 2-3 years seems to be about right for these venturing groups. And the beautiful thing about that is once they rotate back into the organization, they've now got all this insight into what it takes to do different things.
And can be almost refreshed in terms of have their batteries. It can be almost a battery recharging thing.
What you'll sometimes also find is for your younger people, it's seen as a real career opportunity, and it can be a retention mechanism.
CIOs are always dealing with this battle where, yes, they have to keep the BlackBerries. They need to be strategic, but they have to keep the BlackBerries running and keep the network operational. And as you say, it's difficult to do that day-to-day stuff and be strategic at the same time. Mm-hmm. Does it lessen the importance of the jobs that you do have if your CIO or your CFO or any of your C-suite, if you're pulling that strategic part out of their job?
Well, I don't necessarily think you want to pull it out of their job, and this is where those linking mechanisms I was talking about come into play. You need them in the loop. And I wouldn't say that the special groups are strategic. I mean, one thing that I always do is recommend that organizations not allow the strategic growth groups to actually launch anything. Seriously, because what will happen is then that's exactly what you were concerned about happens. You know, they start to take on airs and they're swanking around the place like Wall Street bankers, and everybody else is kind of rah, 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 rah. You don't want that. So what you need is the strategic people to be interdependent with the core mission people, because the core mission people are going to be the ones in the end that have to launch whatever comes out of it.
And another trite phrase, but it also seems important. It seems if this is going to work, leadership is so important here.
Yes, it absolutely is. It just won't happen without it.
And I've seen that in government agencies a lot, where if you want innovation to happen, which is, I think, what this is, what we're talking about, you have to make it a priority. You have to say, hold on, we are going to do this, and we're going to figure out a way. Let's figure out a way that works for us.
Exactly. Exactly. When I worked for government, which I did for about 8 years, I worked for a guy who was just absolutely brilliant at the politics of this stuff. He was in the systems area. He was basically the CIO for the city, although they didn't have that title at the time.
Right.
And what he would do is create these incredible coalitions of interested parties. So, like, if the fire department was all fussed because their phone system wasn't up and working, and the police department was miffed because they didn't have, you know, real-time reports and somebody else, he would figure out a way to get each of those needs addressed by having all those guys go along with his concept for a system. So when he came to present it, and there had to be budget, and there had to be people wanting it, he had this phalanx of commissioners lined up behind him saying, we got to have this.
And you build that support from the ground up, because all of a sudden the program folks are as invested in it as the IT shop is.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But I think what often happens to CIOs is they really don't think with much imagination. So they run around babbling about technical merits and cost efficiencies and, you know, man, person, months saved and stuff like that. And, you know, really, I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds cruel, but who cares? What you really want to do is deliver something that people just can't see any other way to get. And that's what gets you the power.
And does it help me do my job better? As you say, can I imagine my job before? How did I do this before?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Talk a little bit about, you mentioned terms, a length of period of time needs to be long enough where it's you have a time to sort of get in there and actually try some of these things, to sort of splash around in that pool. How long is too long? How short is too short?
Well, I think anything under a year is just too short. I mean, you know, you're barely figured out where your desk is. But
that's right.
And I think over 5 years is just too long in all but the most slow-moving of industries. So somewhere in that three-year horizon is about right.
And it also seems like it needs, you mentioned young people, but it also needs some, maybe even some C-level folks, some C-suite folks who can add almost some gravitas, bring some of that leadership from their jobs and add that to the mixing bowl.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them in the group hands-on on the ventures in most cases, but what you do want is you want them to be very interested. You want them to have a direct reporting line from the special units to themselves so that other people don't get in the way and steal the resources away. And you want them to be, you know, champions and advocates for the program outside of the boundaries of your particular agency.
Are there models for this out there?
In companies or in government?
Either.
Yeah, oh yeah, plenty of them. IBM has a wonderful process they use, which they call the Emerging Business Opportunity Process. And the way it works is they have a C-suite person who is responsible for making sure the resources on new things stay on new things. And then they kind of use an internal reconfiguration process. So somebody maybe was working in the mainframe group on Monday, and by Wednesday they decide, no, you know, we're going to create a real health services division, and they move them into health services. So it's quite interesting.
Hmm. And it also seems, just from an employee standpoint, how exciting to be able to get a certain area to work on and say, hey, come up with a better way of doing this.
Uh-huh. It can be very energizing.
Yeah.
Are there personalities involved?
Yeah. Should there be? I mean, it seems like this can be, you know, is there a personality type that really gets this and then one that just doesn't?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think almost all of us can be effective in that space, but certainly there are people who are naturally more talented than others. What I would point out is the need for at least three distinct leadership roles, and that's where I think government really could stand to think about what staff they have. So at the senior level, you need somebody to set broad direction, create the ambition, create the drive, say, you know, by 20 15, we're going to do blah, 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 you know, whatever it is. But also give people permission to try things, to fail intelligently, to, you know, if it's low cost, to experiment, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then at the level of the actual ventures, the problem in government is that a lot of these people don't last very long. You need your entrepreneurs. You know, these are the guys that are, they're frankly, kind of obnoxious. They're possessed of the courage of their own convictions. They're going to do it, by God, and get out of the way, you stupid bureaucrat. You know.
Well, and there are also the people who are always telling you that the way you're doing things is the wrong way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then you've got the guy who actually makes it all happen, which is the person in the middle, who has to kind of bring together this broad strategic, you know, by 2015 we want to do this, together with the entrepreneurial, get out of my way, and make it work together. And oftentimes we don't really pay enough attention to the need to have each of those roles clearly played out by somebody. And when one of them is missing, nothing happens. If you're missing the senior level position, then it's business as usual because you don't have the leadership. If you're missing the entrepreneurial position, you might have somebody, you know, making plans and dotting I's and crossing T's, but you're not really breaking through to do something new. But if you're missing that person in the middle, it just dies a slow and painful death.
Mm. And it does take that listening, that person at the top who is always almost saying, how can we do this better? We don't have it fixed yet.
Exactly.
And that often can be a very difficult role to play.
It is. And in government, I think one of the critical challenges to find is your metrics. Because you don't have profit and loss, right? And you don't have other things. You have sort of the general goodwill. Well, how the hell do you measure that?
So right.
It's very key that that when it comes to doing new things or doing things more efficiently, that you have metrics to stack up against each other. And that's what we did in the system I was involved in the government. We actually created metrics where there weren't any before to try to get an early warning on how things were going. And it was very effective.